okay. I just want to. I have to say I don't agree with Ken's arguments. I think that the fact is that we're all volunteers on the board, and we all have lots of conflicting interests that we have, and we have to make do with that. You know, it's not just whether you're a politician, we're family members, we have work, we have other political or organizational things that we have to deal with. So I don't think, and we're just talking here about running for office, by the way, not attaining it. There could be, I agree that there could be influences on a candidate running because they're worried about how people see them, but I think that we have that also on the board already, even without running for office. People have constituencies. We have programmers who might be worried about how they look to their program directors or things like that. So those kind of things have to be dealt with all the time anyhow. So I don't see why it should affect someone who's simply running for office. And it's true, I think I agree with Lydia that people get lost too soon just because they want to run for an office, and particularly, as often happens, at least here on the East Coast, you know, our people don't win elections.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. And Bill, I apologize, you'd have to be on stack. Do you want to say something before we...
No, it's okay. We're okay. Past time.
Okay, great. So if there's no motion to extend, which I hope there isn't, let's take a vote on this, please. A yes vote will support the proposed amendment to the bylaws, and no will support the existing text. Madam Secretary, if you could be kind enough to call the roll, please.
I'm sorry. Would you say it again, please?
This is on proposed amendment number 3. A yes vote will support the amendment. A no vote will not, and we'll leave the existing text.
Bruce Wolf?
Yes.
How do you vote?
Oh, did you call Bruce?
Yes.
He voted
yeah,
yes.
And I said yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I heard you.
Great.
Andrea Turner?
Pass.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Dan Siegel? Wait a minute, I got something wrong here. Okay. Dan Siegel, still can't hear you, Dan. Tracy Rosenberg?
I'm going to pass.
Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. Laura Priebus? Can't hear you, Laura.
No.
Did you say no?
Speak up, please.
I said no.
Thank you. Mary Orendorf?
Yes.
Can we vote yes? Peter Wagner votes no. Campbell Johnson?
I'll pass.
Heather's not here. Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Okay. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Lydia Brezon?
No.
Carolyn Verdon?
Yes.
Wesley Buffet?
No.
Mia Bediako?
No.
Rodrigo Argueta?
No.
Jessica Polinar?
Yes.
Serena Allen?
No.
Ken Aaron?
Yes. Yes, yes, you got my vote. Yes, I changed my mind.
Okay. And Kathy Davis?
I said yes, I believe.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you.
That's right. Yes, me too.
to take the proposed text. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, then yes.
Carol Johnson?
No.
Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes, reluctantly.
Okay. Is Marcel back with us?
Okay, I'm sorry, but your voice is fading in and out. Are you on a speakerphone or something? It's hard to hear you.
Hard to hear who?
You. Ophelia, your voice is fading in and out.
Breaking up more so.
Breaking up, yes, thank you.
Okay, I'll change phones. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I had passed. I didn't get mine. Andrea. And I vote no.
Okay, thank you. My apologies.
Uh-huh. No problem, my sister.
1, 2.
And this is Madam Secretary. This is Summer.
Yes.
I'll vote yes.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, no.
I counted 11, yes.
I counted 11, yes, Madam Chair.
Yeah. Me too. Unfortunately.
Right,
Bruce is in.
Right. Okay, so we have, I'm sorry, could you repeat the vote count, Madam Secretary?
11 yes and 9 no.
Okay, amendment fails. 11 yes, 9 no. Please note on the record that it fails so that we just keep a nice, a good track on all this stuff. Thank you. Next. And just out of the sake of fairness, some of these are significantly longer to read. I don't think, I think we have to add a couple of minutes for discussion if people want to discuss, okay, because this next one is a doozy. So, proposed amendment number 4, re-bylaws amendments, Article 17, Section 1B, voting and approval. Background. Under the current bylaws, it's very difficult to get amendments approved due to rather arbitrary constraints on when and how they are approved. Example, within the same calendar month rather than within 30 days. This proposed amendment would make the process easier but still retain important provisions regarding notice and require the same number of votes for approval. Existing text. 1. Unless the board by two-thirds vote decides otherwise, there shall be a maximum of one ballot per 12-month period related to the amendment of the Foundation's bylaws, which annual voting period shall be determined by the board. All properly proposed bylaw amendments shall be held until that date, which is 60 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and of the delegates as determined by the board. The notice date. On the notice date, the proposed amendments to the bylaws shall be posted on the Foundation's website, and the Foundation's radio station shall broadcast an announcement twice a day for a period of 60 days, the notice period, regarding the existence of the proposed amendments on the Foundation's website for review and the upcoming vote by the board and delegates regarding said amendments. The results of said voting by the board and the delegates on the proposed amendments shall be reported within 15 days of the board and delegates' meetings to vote on these amendments. 2, in order for new bylaws to be adopted or these bylaws amended or repealed and subject to Section 1B3 below, 1, sorry, that's an I, not a 1, I, okay, I guess we're in Roman numerals here. I don't know what the hell I'm looking at, but except as provided in Section 1B3 below, the proposed amendments must be approved by the majority of all directors on the board and by the majority vote of all the delegates of at least 3 of the Foundation radio stations. The delegates shall vote on the proposed amendments within the same calendar month as the board, or 2, in the case of amendments proposed by member petition pursuant to Section 1A3 above, said proposed amendments must first be presented to the board and the delegates for approval as set forth in Section 1B2I above. If any proposed amendment is approved by the board and the delegates, Then, unless membership approval is required under Section 1B3 below, the amendment shall be adopted. If any proposed amendment is not approved by the board and delegates, then it shall be submitted to the members for approval and shall be adopted if approved by the members as set forth in Section 1B4 below. And now for clarity, we will have the proposed text, and I hope this helps. Proposed text 1. Unless the board, by a two-thirds vote, decides otherwise, there shall be a maximum of one ballot per six-month period related to the amendment of the Foundation's bylaws, which voting period shall be determined by the board. All properly proposed bylaw amendments shall be held until that date, which is 45 days before the earliest of the voting dates of the board and of the delegates, as determined by the board, the notice date. On the notice date, the proposed amendments to the bylaws shall be posted on the Foundation's website, and the Foundation's radio stations shall broadcast an announcement once a day at a varying time for a period of 45 days, the notice period, regarding the existence of the proposed amendments on the Foundation's website for review and the upcoming vote by the board and delegates regarding said amendments. The results of said vote by the board and the delegates on the proposed amendments shall be reported within 15 days of the board and delegates. 2. In order for new bylaws to be adopted or these bylaws amended or repealed and subject to Section 1B3 below, 1. Except as provided in Section 1B3 below, the proposed amendments must be approved by the majority of all directors on the board and by the majority vote of all the delegates of at least 3 of the Foundation radio stations. The delegates shall vote on the proposed amendments within the 45-day period beginning with the first voting date of the board or delegates, or 2, in the case of amendments proposed by member petition pursuant to Section 1A3 above, said proposed amendments must first be presented to the board and the delegates for approval as set forth in Section 1B2. 1 above I, sorry. If any proposed amendment is approved by the board and the delegates, then, unless membership approval is required under Section 1B3 below, the amendment shall be adopted. If any proposed amendment is not approved by the board and delegates, then it shall be submitted to the members for approval and shall be adopted if approved by the members as set forth in Section 1B4 below. So obviously the salient differences are that we could have two ballots per year, one every 6 months instead of only once per year, and that the notice period would be 45 days instead of 60. And it appears it would be a calendar month instead of a 30-day period. Is that correct? So, 45 days. Okay. So, discussion. Oh, and I didn't read who proposed that. I think my name's on that one, too. Bill Crozier, Summerese, Carolyn Burden, Teresa Allen, Jessica Apollinar, Alex Steinberg, and Marcel Reed. Discussion.
This is Lydia.
Lydia.
And Carolyn.
And Carolyn.
Bill.
And Bill. Okay. Lydia, go ahead.
Okay. So, right now, we have one determined cycle per year that requires no additional votes. And then we have built into the existing bylaws the option of having a second cycle of bylaws by a two-thirds vote of the board. And the reason that this was set up that way to begin with is because there was like a wholesale move by the previous board before the lawsuits and all of that, where they were going crazy changing the bylaws and preventing the local boards to send their designated directors, et cetera. So a board majority, if they have a whole year and they just can, you know, keep amending bylaws even twice a year, already specified. If we want a second cycle, we can do so. But let's take next year, for example. If we want to make some bylaws changes, we should try to do that in the first quarter. But then what if we have some directors that want to do it even during the election cycle? And then we have all of, you know, our requisite announcements and all the meetings are tailored when we're overwhelmed with the elections already. So I
think you're opposed. Okay, thank you. Carolyn?
I'm going to defer to Bill and go after him.
Go ahead, Bill.
Thank you.
Well, as Summer indicated, the main effect is to change the notice period to 45 days and allow two ballots on amendments per year without having to require a two-thirds vote by the PNB. The reason this meeting is so long today is because, you know, we only have one a year, so we accumulate all these things for a year because we know there won't be another chance to do it this year if we try to split them up into more than one. I might note that this amendment, as well as I believe all the following ones except for the last one, were approved by the PNB last year, and I think by two of the delegate assemblies, and it's a repeat. The other three delegate assemblies didn't meet at all, so I just didn't think this would be controversial at all, but it just, we're trying to get some things done. The amending process is really difficult right now. This loosens it up a little bit and remove some of the arbitrary constraints, like having to do it within the same calendar month. That's probably the biggest problem. And that's one reason why some of the delegate assemblies did not meet last year, because they weren't able to meet in the same calendar month as the PND, which did not vote on the first of the month like we're doing tonight. So I'm in favor of the amendment.
Thank you, Bill. Carolyn, and then we're done, because I know we're out of time. Carolyn?
Yes, thank you. I just want to speak in favor of this. It does remove a lot of the, I would say, the nonsense and the arbitrary things, and we can always put them back if we find that we need them. But at the moment, I think this is a good move towards making life a little easier. 10 amendments at one meeting is just too much. So I would urge us to vote yes on this one. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. I know we're at time. We're past time. We all know that. So if there's no move to extend, then we can take the vote. Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. A yes vote. Again, we'll support the proposed amendment. Amendment number 4 is the one we're on. A no vote will leave the bylaws as they currently exist. Madam Secretary, if you could go ahead and call the roll, please. Thank you.
Ken Aaron
votes yes.
Teresa Allen?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hold on just a second. Apollinar?
Pass.
Rodrigo Argueta.
Well, pass.
Nia Veriaco.
No.
Okay. Wesley Bassin.
Pass.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
Lydia Brizan?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Heather Gray? Campbell Johnson?
No.
Isia Passage. Camry Orendorf. How do you vote, Camry? Can't hear you, Camry. Laura Peavis. Can't hear you, Laura. Marcel Reed.
I'm sorry, this is Laura. No.
Okay, thank you. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. Summer Reese?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
No.
Bruce Wolf?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Jessica Apollinar?
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta? Can't hear you.
Abstain.
Okay. Let's see, who else is next? Wesley Bassin.
Abstain.
Yeah, abstains as well.
sorry, Madam Secretary Kimmery, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no's, and 2 abstentions.
Point of information, did the chair choose to vote?
I did, again. Yes, thank you. I'm voting mostly, so thank you. All right, so
point of information.
Yes,
I know you're going to find this redundant, but it is correct, Madam Chair, is that if someone abstains, it's the same as a no vote.
That's correct. It is great. Jessica vote abstained. Wesley abstained, and I abstained.
Thank you. All right, so we have 11 yes, 5 no's, and 2 abstentions. Is that correct, Madam Secretary?
3 abstentions.
Sorry, okay. So 11-5-3. Thank you. Proposed amendment fails, if you can note that for the record, please, and we'll move to the next one. Thank you. So far, no proposed amendments have lived through this process yet. Okay. Proposed amendment number 5, staff quorum, Article 3, Section 7, background. This section contains a typo that creates ambiguity with regard to quorum and staff elections, which is defined as 1/3 and then as 1/4 in parentheses numerically. The original intent is broadly reported to have been 1/4, not 1/3. Existing text, a quorum of the staff members shall be 1/3. And then it has 1/4 in parentheses, numerically, of those staff members entitled to vote on the matter as of the applicable record date. Proposed text, a quorum of the staff members shall be 1/4, with 1/4 in parentheses, of those staff members entitled to vote on the matter as of the applicable record date. So this appears to be correcting Scribner's error. The following directors have proposed Amendment Number 5, Bill Crozier, Summer Reese, Carolyn Burden, Tracy Rosenberg, Ken Aaron, Teresa Allen, Jessica Apollinar, and Alex Steinberg. Is any discussion necessary on this?
Madam Chair, this is Leah.
Yeah,
point of information from Kathy.
Let me get the point of information first, please. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay, I'm not understanding broadly reported, but it seems to me that the 1/4 would be the typo, not the word of third, so I'm not understanding why the 1/4 is being changed and not the number being changed to match the third.
Well, that's perfectly legitimate, and I can't speak with authority on that matter. Let me hear from Nia, and maybe we can get some clarity on that. Go ahead, Nia.
I was just about to ask, can we get unanimous consent on this? I don't see anybody having a problem with this, but evidently we do. That's what I was going to do.
Again, I don't know who wrote these background pieces, and it says the original intent is broadly reported to have been 1/4, not 1/3. Yes, I don't know broadly reported where or by whom, and I'm not looking at the entire bylaws right at this particular moment. Often one can define these things from the text of the whole document. What was the intent of the drafters? Anyone else want to weigh in on this topic?
Madam Chair?
Campbell?
And Bill?
Yes.
Bill?
I would suspect that it would be, and where we have an ambiguity of the sort, that it would be perhaps better to err on the side of conservatives. So I would suggest that if we have ambiguity with regard to, you know, what was the expression? Generally reported? Broadly reported, that we would be erring on the safe side by going with 1/4, although as a former banker, you go with the written amount over the numerical amount, but we aren't in banking. So this is, you know, I think in the real world, we can perhaps accept the 1/4, and I don't think it does any particular violence. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm in favor of the amendment. I don't care whether it's 1/3 or 1/4. I just want it clarified because it's an open invitation to a lawsuit. Somebody either way could challenge it. And I think the NES, I've talked to at least the last two NESs. This, this and several of these amendments came through the election committee last year and in order reviewed by the committee and all that. And I don't remember the details. I wasn't involved in writing the bylaws, but the last two NESs, I believe, have said that they assume that what they went by was 1/4. But, you know, they're taking a chance because the bylaws are, you know, confusing there.
Madam Chair, if no one else has a comment, I'd like to just make a brief one.
I would like to say, Rodrigo.
Okay, go ahead, Rodrigo. And I'm on the bylaws right now, so go ahead, Rodrigo.
Yeah, basically, my question is that how is it going to affect, you know, tough elections? You know, like, what things, you know, I never heard that it was 1/4. I always heard 1/3. But either way, it should be amended. It should be corrected, actually, not amended, because it seems like more like a correction of, you know, that needs to be done. But, you know, how is that going to affect, you know, the staff election?
Well, I'm reading something on the Pacifica website right here, and I'm not sure. It doesn't make much sense why this would be an amendment. This is if it is a correction, it's a correction. But, and I don't know who wrote this. It just, when you click onto our bylaws on the Pacifica site, it says these complete sections of Pacifica bylaws incorporate the amendments approved in 2007 and 2008 and are published here with all typographical errors identical to the original text located at Pacifica.org with two noteworthy exceptions. Article 3, Section 7 has been corrected where the original states incongruously. The staff quorum is described as 1/3. 1/4 in parentheses. The text has been corrected to 1/4, and in Article 4, Section 9, they've got another correction. So it seems that someone has corrected this on the website, and now we're voting on it. But, all right, is there, Bill, did I have you? Did you ask to be recognized or not? You did not, did you?
I already spoke.
Thank you. Sorry. Campbell, you wanted to say something further?
Yes. My understanding, and I don't think that WPFW is alone in this situation, but it's very difficult to get a quorum. And so I think, you know, for staff members, and I think that the lower threshold would be, you know, even though it's maybe not more than a person, would be a more feasible thing to assure representation of staff on the, you know, in the election.
Thank you.
For a time.
Thank you, but we are, and okay, there's all sorts of notes all over the website here about how it was supposed to be 1/4 and not 1/3, so with different people over time have had something to do with this. So, okay, Madam Secretary, if we can...
Can I just ask you another question, because it's really important, you know, to me. You know, it says, you know, everyone says, of both staff members entitled to vote on the matter. And then, you know, the background says creates ambiguity with regards to quorum in each staff election. So are we talking about what? The staff elections, you know, to people to be elected from the staff? Or are we talking, you know, about that the staff members will be voting on something, you know, regarding something else, either, you know, elections or something that pertains to the re-election or what, you know?
We're talking about the actual elections. It says in, right here, it's a quorum of staff members shall be, and then it's got the 1/3 versus 1/4 of those staff members entitled to vote. It's just setting what the quorum is of those staff members who are entitled to vote. It's not dealing with who those members are. That's a separate issue. And it's not dealing with other types of votes in the main elections.
Okay.
And I'm reading here a textual note from EWG. I'm sure somebody else knows who EWG is. In the original bylaws text, the second sentence of this section reads, a quorum of staff members shall be 1/3, and then it's got 1/4 in parentheses, of those staff members entitled to vote. This has been corrected to read 1/4 of those staff members. To cite Carol Spooner, the intent was for the staff quorum to be 1/4. And that was a decision of the election supervisor this year, 2003, after conferring with me, the bylaws committee chair, about the historical development of the bylaws. For more on errata and the Pacifica bylaws, see the errata page. So anyway, this seems to have been clarified more than once by various people who ought to know, but it's before us right now as a vote to officially amend it. So
EWG is the KPFK election working group.
Thank you. I knew someone would know what that was for.
So it's a group. It's not just one person.
Okay, thank you. I wasn't sure.
Broadly reported.
There we go, broadly reported. Okay, so folks, we're at time. Let's take a vote on this. A yes vote would support correcting what appears to be a Scrivener's error in conformity with other corrections already made by various individuals, but making it officially an amendment to the bylaws. A no vote would leave the currently incongruous and confusing.
Madam Chair, you might ask if there are any objections, perhaps?
Fantastic, Carolyn. Any objections? We've got a winner. We've got a winner. Okay, fantastic. Madam Secretary, if you could note number 5 has crossed the finish line unanimously. Thank you. All right, beautiful. Number 6, proposed amendment number 6. Thank you, everybody. Renomination period, Article 4, Section 5, Part 1, background. This section is ambiguous with regard to number of days in nominating period, stating 30 days. But defining a period that spans 31 days. Current text, quote, in a delegate election year, the nomination period for seats being vacant shall open on June 1 and remain open for 30 days, closing on July 1. Proposed text, in a delegate election year, the nomination period for seats being vacant shall open on June 1 and remain open for 30 days, closing on June 30. Following directors of proposed amendment number 6, Bill Crozier, Sir Maurice, Carolyn Burden, Tracy Rosenberg, Ken Aaron, Teresa Allen, Jessica Apollinar. Is there any discussion necessary on this? Again, it's clarifying something which was...
I'm sorry, Madam Chair.
Bill.
It stated that it was a 30-day period, but it actually listed dates which encompass 31 days. So it's intended to make conformity, again, conflicting things in the paragraph. It would change it from... in a delegate election year, the nomination period for seats being vacated shall open on June 1 and remain open for 30 days, closing on July 1. And it would change that to opening on June 1, remain open for 30 days, closing on June 30th. That's all. It's to put it in conformity with the 30-day period. Is
Bill,
there a discussion?
Excuse me, Madam Chair?
Yes, I'm sorry. Kimberly.
Yes, I'm at somebody else's house. And
oh, okay. I'm sorry.
To graciously let me use their phone, which is dying and going in and out. I'm going to have to step away and let this thing charge up for at least 20 minutes to jump back on the call.
Sure.
Let me just get a quick synopsis because I just missed everything that happened on 5. Did that pass unanimously?
Yes, it did pass unanimously.
Okay.
That's correct. No
and
objection.
If I do miss anything, what has been passed and what has failed, we're going to...
Come on.
There'll be a full record.
Excuse me, Director Johnson.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Kimberly.
That I can come back and get the updated.
Of course.
Vote counts for the amendment if I miss something.
Of course. Okay. 5 is the only one that has passed so far.
Keep your lips quiet when other people are speaking. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Okay, I think I had a quick stack on proposed amendment number 6, which would be, did I hear Bill and then Ifia? Was that?
Nia.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Sometimes all I can hear is the vowel sound at the end, and it's similar. Okay, go ahead, Bill.
This, like the last one and the next one, was considered by the election committee last year that I chaired, and, you know, we got lots of comments and stuff like that, and everybody, I think, was in agreement. It doesn't matter a lot which it is. It's just it's another invitation to a lawsuit, especially since in this case, most of the applications come in the very last day. And so if somebody was to challenge it, no matter which way the LES or the NES rules, you know, it could be another lawsuit, which is not what we like to avoid. So, again, I don't care if it's 30 or 31 days. We just need to be clear.
Right. Get rid of the ambiguity in our bylaws. A capital idea as far as I'm concerned. Thank you, Bill. Nia.
And this is Lydia.
Yes, please, folks. Can we just get unanimous? I'd like to call the orders of the day. This is a simple correction of contradictory language. It's like the other one. We spent all that time, and we did it unanimously. So could we just take that and move on?
Without objection.
Yes, ma'am. I'm down with that. Lydia, did you have something you need to add?
I just wanted to read Terry Goodman's email that he sent. I'm going to actually vote yes just because I want to hear him argue on some of these things, but... Nevertheless, he wrote, from noon on June 1st to noon on July 1st is exactly 30 days. So that's my comment. It's his, but there you go.
Thank you.
I call the orders.
So many ways to skin these proverbial cats. Huh? Okay, thank you. Well, you don't even have to call the orders, Nia. We're at time. We're always at time right now. Is there any objection to this?
Not objection.
Once, twice. Unanimously passed. Thank you, Madam Secretary. If you'd please record that. Thank you, folks. We'll pick up a little speed on a couple of these, maybe if we're lucky. Proposed Amendment number 7. This one's going to take a minute to read. It looks long. Okay, let's see what we got here. All right, Proposed Amendment number 7, read, provision to adjust election dates, Article 4, Section 5, Part 2. Background. The current bylaws mandate exact election date schedules, including candidate filing period beginning June 1st. For this period to begin as mandated, all local election supervisors must be on the ground running by the end of May. For the last two Pacifica elections, the NES, that would be National Election Supervisor, was not hired until well after May 1st, which has created a detrimental rush to recruit, select, hire, and train all the local election supervisors, all while making other preparations for the election. The reality is that the National Election Supervisor must be hired by March 1st in order to complete all the preparatory work that's needed. If this deadline is not met, it is detrimental to the intent of our election process and sets the stage for hostility and potential lawsuits. If approved, this amendment will provide flexibility if the NES, National Election Supervisor, is not hired by March 1st. This is, rather than a change in text, it is an addition of text. Add the following to the end of the first paragraph of Article 4, Section 5. And this would add, quote, notwithstanding the above dates in this paragraph, the National Election Supervisor, NES, after consulting with management at all stations to review plans for fund drives and other possible conflicts with elections, may adjust all the other dates in this paragraph as necessary to ensure that there is, one, adequate time for preparation for the elections at each station, and, two, adequate promotion at each station to obtain an adequate number of qualified candidates. For determining whether the nomination deadline date should be extended, if the number of candidates in each election is at least twice the number of positions to fill, then the number of candidates shall be deemed to be adequate. However, there is no requirement that the nomination deadline be extended indefinitely if this number of candidates is not obtained. Any adjustments to the election date should ensure that the elections are completed and certified by December 1, so the newly elected delegates may be seated as provided in Article 7, Section 6B. Following directors of Proposed Amendment 7, Bill Crozier, Summer Reese, Carolyn Burden, Tracy Rosenberg, Ken Aaron, and Teresa Allen. Stack for discussion.
This is Lydia.
Lydia, Bill.
Yes, okay, so I am going to vote no on this, and my opposition to it is because the period of time that the National Election Supervisor has to advertise for the local election supervisors and prepare him or herself for these elections and become familiar with all the previous reports and everything that has to be done cannot be any shorter than it is already. There has never been enough time, as it is, for the National Election Supervisors to do their job adequately and in a timely fashion. And so to extend that period of time is nonsense. I mean, we should be advertising right now for that election supervisor so that that person has time to interview and get qualified, hopefully, local election supervisors.
Okay, thank you. Bill?
Again, this is another one that came out of the Elections Committee last year. The last two delegate elections where we were all elected were good examples of how the things go crazy if the NES isn't hired by March 1st. I mean, I agree with Lydia. The things are too much of a rush, and the right answer is to get the NES hired early. But it does take some time to do it, and for the last, repeatedly, at least the last two elections, I think more, the NES has not been hired until after May 1st. And during the few weeks that remaining in May, they have to get the LESs recruited, selected, hired, trained, and all the preparatory stuff done so that they can start the nomination period on June 1st. And then when that doesn't happen, when we don't get the people hired and trained in advance, then just all kinds of crazy things happen, and that's we've seen the last two elections. That's what happened. So I agree the right solution is to get the NES hired earlier and the LESs hired earlier, but if that doesn't happen for any reason, this gives the the election supervisors a little more flexibility in the dates and still ensures that we'll get the elections finished in time for everybody to be seated at the December meeting.
Thank you. And Carolyn?
Yes, I watched this last year when I was not on the election committee. I'm on it this year. This is a good motion because it does give people flexibility. It does count on goodwill and the intent of people not to destroy the elections by dragging their feet until too late. March 1st is a very good target deadline, and perhaps the PNB could consider putting that in stone at some point at a meeting. But I think that this is really an improvement. That election committee worked very hard on this, and I do hope that we can support the process by passing this motion. This is a good motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I'm sure we're at time. So, everybody, it's in front of you. Madam...
Point of information?
Yes, Teresa.
This came out of the election committee? Is that correct?
Yes.
Last year.
So my question is, and you can just answer with the yes or no, in the opinion of the election committee, this amendment would save money for Pacifica?
I don't know that that's even come up. Yeah, go ahead, Bill.
It probably wouldn't make any difference.
All right, thank you.
Well, I would answer that.
On the stack, if I may.
Who is that?
Carolyn.
Answer that question.
Okay, I'm sorry. Too many people talking at once. Okay, Kathy and then Carolyn. Is that what I heard?
Yeah. Yes. What I wanted to say about, am I recognized?
Go ahead, Kathy. Yes, please.
I don't think it will make a difference in the basic inherent cost of hiring people and running elections. Where it will save money is in the lawsuits that happen after an improperly held election. That's where it's going to save a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, great. All right, Carolyn?
Yes, and I think this year the intent is to try and use more volunteers, which will need more training time. So I think this is a very important motion, and I do hope it will save some cost in the actual hiring. It may not, but I'm hoping that it will. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's take a vote. So a yes will support Amendment 7 and proposed Amendment 7, and a no will leave it as it is. I'm sorry, was that someone I heard?
Excuse me, is my phone not working?
Who is that?
This is Wesley Bethune, KPFT.
Hey, Wesley, you want to be heard?
Yes, thank you. I support the bill with the amendment with the exception of the garnering of twice the seats available. I don't know how that got in there, but because it's in there, I refuse to vote positively for it. Thank you.
All right, Wesley, thank you. Anyone else? All right, folks. A yes vote will support the amendment. A no will not. Okay, Madam Secretary, if you could call the roll, please. Thank you.
Yes, Aaron.
Sorry, yes. Ken Aaron votes yes.
Thank you. Teresa Allen.
Pass.
Jessica Apollinar.
Okay, yes, to support the motion. Yes.
Lisa Argueta. Here you are, Rodrigo. Mia Berriato.
No.
What's this?
No.
Alan Burden.
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Lydia Brisson?
No.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Heather Gray, is Heather joining us? Campbell Johnson?
No.
It passes.
Who passes, please? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sophia passes.
Thank you. Your voice was breaking up.
Kathy Linda. Can't hear you, Camry. Bob Priebus. Can't hear you. Okay. Thank you.
What did she say?
No.
Okay.
Marcel Reed. Marcel's still not with us. Summer Reed.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Dan Siegel. Can you hear me, Dan? Alex Steinberg.
Yes.
Andrea Turner.
No.
Wolf.
Yes.
Teresa Allen.
Yes.
Rodrigo Argueta. Can't hear you, Rigo.
I'm safe.
You said, I can't hear you. You said, Rodrigo.
I'm abstain.
Hey, I'm abstain.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know if you can do
that. Okay, and,
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that.
Can't hear anything.
Ixia abstains. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, yes. And one, two, three, four, five. Six, no. And two abstentions.
Did you call Kimmery and Marcel a second time?
Yes, I did. And I got no response.
Mm-hmm.
How many no's?
Oh.
So the final count is 10 yes, 6 no, and 2 abstentions.
Thank you.
So the proposed amendment fails. And if you could note that for the record, please, we'll move on to the next one. Thank you. Proposed amendment number 8, re-STV IRV voting with ties, Article 15, Section 1, voting methods, Paragraph 1, background. The current bylaws are unclear what to do in the case of a tie. Use second choice votes or flip a coin. This can occur if there are only two people running for a single position and there's a tie in first place votes. This amendment would clarify what should be done. Current text. Unless otherwise expressly provided in these bylaws, all elections by the members, delegates, directors, and LSB shall be conducted by the single transferable voting method where there is more than one set seat or position to be filled, and by the instant runoff voting method where there is only one seat or position to be filled. Proposed text. Unless otherwise expressly provided in these bylaws, all elections by the members, delegates, directors, and LSBs shall be conducted by the single transferable voting STV method where there is more than one seat or position to be filled, and by the instant runoff voting, IRV method, where there is only one seat or position to be filled. In any phase of evaluating IRV results, in the event of a tie, the next tier of choices are evaluated until the tie is resolved. If tied on first place votes, add up second choice votes, and so on. If this does not resolve the tie, the winner will be selected by lot, flipping a coin or other agreed-upon method of chance. Proposed by Bill Crozier, Summer Reese, Callan Burden, Tracy Rosenberg, Ken Aaron, Teresa Allen, Jessica Apollinar. Discussion? Stack?
This is Lydia.
Lydia? Go ahead, please.
So I actually agree with most of it, but the first problem is that the section that previously read about using the straws to break a tie is section 5D of that same article, and that was never posted on the website, so no one knew that that's what it would affect, because that particular if we pass this, it will say we can use a coin. But then when you read the rest of it, because it can't be changed because it wasn't noticed, it says if there is a tie to the candidate with the least number of votes, this is Section 5D, the candidate to be eliminated shall be decided by drawing straws. So that's one of those things. Whenever you do these amendments, you have to read everything. That's one. But my other issue is that we threw in one more ambiguity that wasn't necessary, which is flipping a coin or other agreed-upon method of chance. What agreed upon how? By a majority or by what has been established by an STV vote? And consensus is not characteristic of our delegation. So I would otherwise support this, I think, but I am going to vote no just because it wasn't noticed, the section that that applies with the straws, and it just throws in another contradiction. I think most people have been using coin tosses. We've certainly had ties before. So
are you, was that against?
That was against. I'm going to vote against. With all of these, with most of the ones that I have been voting against, it was just because of problems with wording. I think with more work, I could clearly support it, the same as what Wesley said. So they just weren't vetted. They were thrown in very last minute, even though they've been on the website. We know they weren't ready when we were in Houston. I had distributed mine ahead of time, the one that I had proposed at the other night. But nevertheless, these things just need to be looked at by more people, so that we have
okay, thank you.
Things tightened up. That was it.
Bill?
This is another one. We went through the election committee last year. I had a lot of discussion. The proposed text was sent to past election committee members and chairs, and you know, comments were incorporated, and I think everybody agreed on it. I don't remember the exact, if there were any objections or not, but it did have a lot of discussion. The main effect of this is, and this does happen, and not real often, but it's happened before, is when you have only two people running for one position. For example, the staff director or chair of a local committee or something like that, or if you're filling a vacancy or something, and if you only have two people running, and then if you have a tie, the question is, do you look at the second place votes or not? And there's an ambiguity in the bylaws, because in one place it says, well, as you should supply second choice rankings for all the elections, and that's why we call it IRV, instant runoff voting. But then, in another place here, it says that if there's a tie in last place, which in this case is the same as in first place, because you're only at two people running, then you draw lots or by chance. And I don't care whether you flip a coin or draw straws or something; the effect is the same. So this would basically say, it would remove the ambiguity. It would say, you look at the second place votes, and that way, you know, hopefully you pick somebody who is more agreeable to more of the people voting.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, let's take the vote. Everybody knows the drill by now. Yes vote supports the proposed amendment. A no vote leaves things the way they are. Madam Secretary, if you can call the roll, please.
Lynch?
Sorry, Madam Chair, repeat that. A yes is what and a no is what?
I'm sorry? Could you repeat?
Can you just go over that one more? A yes is to support and a no is not to support?
Yes, for all of the proposed amendments, a yes vote would support the proposed amended text, and a no vote would leave things as they are. All right. Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you could go ahead.
Ken Kitt, can't hear you. Teresa Allen.
I'm sorry. This is Ken Aaron. I didn't hear you call my name correctly. I vote yes.
Thank you. Teresa Allen. Can you hear you, Teresa? Jessica.
Teresa Allen says yes.
Thank you. Jessica Apollinar.
Yes.
Rodueta?
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, Betty Acco?
No, I didn't hear what Rodrigo said. What did Rodrigo say?
No. Okay, who's the next person? Wesley Batten?
Did I hear Nia's vote?
I don't know whether you did or not. Wesley Batten?
What was Nia's vote?
No.
Thank you, Madam Secretary.
Wesley Batten? Can't hear you, Wesley.
Yes.
Can't hear you, Carolyn.
I didn't hear you either, if you call my name. Yes. Burden votes yes.
Lydia Brizon?
No.
How do you vote, Lydia?
No.
Thank you. Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Kathy Davis?
Yes.
Heather Gray? Campbell Johnson?
No.
One Gaza votes no also. Kimberly Orendoff? How do you vote, Kimberly? Can't hear you. Laura Priebus?
No.
Thank you. Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. Summer Reese?
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg?
I vote yes.
Dan Siegel? Can't hear you, Dan. Alex Rosenberg? Can't hear you, Alex.
Yes.
Okay. Andrea Turner?
No.
Ruth Wolf?
Yes.
Okay, we didn't have any passes. Wesley Bassoon?
I think you voted yes.
I voted yes.
Okay. Emery Orendoff? Can't hear you, Kimberly. All right, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no.
Okay, 12, yes.
I got 12
also.
Recount, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I'm still getting 11.
Could you please read the yeses a fee in that way? Maybe someone can identify who the missing person is.